Welcome to Andy Tillison of The Tangent. Good morning. It's morning here. What time is it where you are?
It's about 7:30 in the evening.
So nice.
Same day.
Well, for those that don't know, Andy is a longtime member of The Tangent, among other products, but there is a new Tangent album coming out to follow Polaris, I believe is what it's called. It'll be out on May the 10th, and Andy, due to whatever kind of circumstances we're going to find out, recorded this entire album by himself.
Yes. It was something that wasn't particularly planned. It just happened. I started work on a record myself. At first, I thought it's going to be a solo record, but the more I did it, I kind of thought it's more like a Tangent record. This one, and I guess that the rest of the band were really kind of busy because they're super busy people. Our bass player Jonas Reingold plays with Steve Hackett's band and he's therefore on tour a great deal. It's with him now. Our saxophonist plays for the Soft Machine, the guitarist plays for people like Karnataka and what's the group called? Cyan, yes, he calls it. He plays for those guys as well as his own band and his own material. So it was not the best of times to actually make a Tangent record, but I kind of thought, well, I could go ahead and finish this album off as a solo album. But as it came to it, my record company, Inside Out, were sort of quite keen to put it out under the Tangent moniker. I approached the rest of the band and said, is it okay if I do this? And of course, they said yes, no problem. So I've had this opportunity to make a record and finish it all off playing all the instruments and everything else, in fact, in designing the sleeve, putting it together, doing the mixing, the mastering, the CD authoring, the vinyl banding, the whole lot, and it's been quite an experience, a big learning experience to take something from the very first note right through to the finished product. Yeah, so there it is.
That's kind of a new way of doing things. What makes, you were working on the music and you said that it felt more like a Tangent. What makes that new music feel more like a Tangent project?
I think that, it's a case of if the Tangent has an identity, I suppose it's, obviously it's how other people look at it. To me, the Tangent is a kind of progressive rock band core that expands out into sort of like other forms of rock music, some of which is a lot later and radically different to progressive rock music in that we've often used stuff like disco, soul, funk within our music, even bits of electronic dance music.
But that's the fun of progressive rock, right? Being able to throw all this stuff into the mix.
Well, that's it. And that's how it originally started, of course. And that was the beauty of it. But, kind of as we've gone on, it's been kind of, well, you can't do that because that's not prog. Well, we don't care if it's not prog.
Right. Which to me is prog. That right there, we don't care.
That's pretty well my attitude as well. So, but of course, the fact is that as well as that, what makes the Tangent is the fact that we, the songs are usually about things that are happening out there in the world. They're about real things. They're about problems. There's, a lot of people call us political. We're not really political, but, we sing about things that are happening now, which, of course, could be interpreted as being political viewpoints. And, this record was one of those. It was a proggy record. It had the usual kind of diversions from progressive rock music, and it had a definite leaning towards wanting to comment on the state of affairs in the world today, which I think you'll agree probably do need comment.
They do need a lot of comment, I think. So glad that folks like yourself are out there doing it. Now, the first single off the album that we've been playing for a while is The North Sky. You want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Oh, that kind of sums up the atmosphere of the record, really, in despite wanting to sing about a lot of the problems that are in the world, I never want to do that without sort of like taking into account the positives, because I'm a very positive person. And I live with a very positive woman too, so
That
that's a
helps.
yeah, that's a pretty good thing. So I try to try to seek out optimism where I can, and unfortunately, if you were to become totally optimistic, you might end up in a band that's kind of going, everything is groovy, everything is nice, and it is,
Right.
so why pretend? So I kind of like to take into account the obstacles that are in our way and look ahead of those obstacles or look above the obstacles and and hope that we can find something to focus on to make life better for us. And that's within the music. And I think that what I was really looking for at the beginning of the album was trying to find something that is true. Yeah. And that is something that since around about 2015, particularly 2016, we've all sort of like begun to lose track of what truth is. And anything but anything now can be debated, literally black as white. The earth is flat.
I
We
know.
never went to the moon. Side A is a bunch of left-wing idiots, and side B is a bunch of right-wing idiots, and everybody's arguing constantly about every single thing. And I wanted to see if I could find something. Is there anything on the planet or anything in the universe that we all can agree on? And it took a bloody while to think about it. I have to say, I was lucky, and then I took the dog out for a walk one evening. It was a nice evening. Twilight was happening. It was lovely, and I saw it, Polaris in the sky. And I kind of thought, that's it. It's nobody can dispute it. It's the stars spin around it. It's there. It's north. And if you look at it, you realize that there's the first GPS that ever existed, and that
Right.
people were navigating the seas on this before the time of Galileo,
That one
and
star.
it would still work after the days of Chat GPT, So, and nobody can argue about, not even flat earthers, because it's just there
There.
doing its business, being in the middle. One day it will move, I know this, and but Shakespeare knew it was there, and my grandchildren's grandchildren will know it was there. So, of course it does move because we're all moving in space, but for the foreseeable future, Polaris is going to be our North Star. And I thought, well, that's it, that's the truth. So it's just a metaphor that, if you can actually look and see something that you know is true, then it makes all the tapestry of lies that we have to live through on a daily basis, and opinions and
Propaganda and
all that kind of stuff that we have to, but it becomes a little bit easier to navigate when you've got something you can actually see and it's true. So that's what that song is about. And so it's a very positive song.
But that also, you said, kind of led to the through line of the album, so to speak.
Yes, I think so. Because like there's parts of the North Sky that get revisited later on, it gets reprised, and and of course the album goes through some pretty difficult to say stuff. It's not, because the world is not a great place at the moment, and
But that's what's a wonderful thing about music. You can get those things out.
yes, I think so. Some people don't like us musicians delving into it, particularly if we disagree with their points of view. But like, hey, in the end, it's what I get up in the morning to be. Is I get up in the morning to be a protest singer, and prog comes second. I like the kind of music that I do. That's why I choose to make my music that way.
Sure.
But first and foremost, I'm somebody who's wanting to communicate something. That's the most important thing. So when people say, why do you put politics into prog? I say, well, it's not that. I put prog into politics
I was going to
rather
say, you
than,
basically put you in there, so.
yeah, that's it. Yeah, I maybe I've got that the wrong way around, but anyway, I'm old,
Now, the new single is called The Single, and it's actually something from your past. You want to talk about that one?
Well, the new single, yes. Well, the single was originally recorded for another band I was in many years ago now. It was first released in 1997,
Wow.
which of course makes me realize, God, I've been doing this for a bloody long time.
Right?
And I have, in fact, I released my first album in 1987, so it goes quite a long way back. And there we go. This particular song, the single, was about media organizations sort of like writing the history of music instead of music writing the history of music. So it was kind of like the BBC and CNN or whoever would have their ideas of what the history of music was, and they would make that history. And 27 years later, I kind of thought that still applies, and it applies to more than just music. You
Even
know,
more, right?
that we look to media organizations to be the truth rather than books and stuff. So I kind of updated the song, and the original lyrics are all still there, but I added a couple of verses about modern times and brought the thing up to date. It was interesting because the track was originally on an album called The Time Capsule, which means that, it's kind of nice to open that time capsule 27 years later and revisit one of the songs from it and say, look, this was from the 90s and here it is now. So that was always a always something that I thought might be nice when I was younger, when I made the song.
To revisit it at some point and do something different with it. And I guess it fits into the theme of this album.
That's right, yes. So it's the song actually was with by the band Parallel on 90 Degrees, and we made that track, and it didn't sound quite like PO90. I always thought this sounds like something else I might do in the future, and of course that something else was The Tangent, which happened. And really, this song is kind of like a prototype Tangent song from 1997,
That's
5 years
great.
before the group started.
That's amazing.
It just worked out nicely.
Now, when it came to recording this album, what was harder than normal? I know, like, you usually do the keyboards and all the other stuff, but you had to do some new instrumentation. You had to worry about some other things. What was the hard part?
Bass. I know the answer straight off, bass. That was the hard one. I mean, I only got a bass guitar 1.5 years ago. So it was the first, and I started doing the bass part through it pretty quickly after I got it, because this album has taken forever to make. And you see, like I was a complete novice bass player.
Right.
And I was going to be playing the bass on a recording which normally has Jonas Reingold as the bass player. Now,
Right.
he's kind of one of the best in the world, and
Some
I've
big
just
shoes to
started.
fill, right?
So very big shoes to fill. So what caused the it didn't cause me trouble. I always knew I'm not going to be able to play like Jonas, and of course I can't. But I asked myself the question, what would Jonas do here? And what would I be wanting Jonas to do here if I was asking him? So the thing was, is that what made it possible was I knew what I wanted from the instrument. I knew what I wanted it to do. And all it was a case of is, could I actually make that happen? And of course, the one thing that you have when you're working in a recording studio is you have a huge amount available of time.
Right.
So I was able to sit here literally for weeks that ran into months, recording the bass parts for this record. And it took me a long time. It really did. I was playing parts. Do, 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 do. Oh no! Do, 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 oh no! Do, 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 do. Nearly, just back and back and back
Sure.
until I finally got what I was looking for. So I'm not a skilled stage bass player at all, but what I am is a composer who was just writing the bass parts actually on the instrument, making them happen and recording them. So there's so many takes. I can't. I mean, when I opened the folder on the computer for bass files. There's just pages and pages and pages of them. You know, I think there's 1,349 or something like that, you know,
Goodness.
different little attempts to do various parts of it. So yeah. But yeah, so that was the big one. I mean, the other instruments I'd had experience on before and knew how to deal with them.
Is bass
But
something that you'd want to play more of? Do you have any
I
interest
think
in
so, yeah,
following that
because
now?
like, you know, it would have been so easy to do the bass on the keyboards.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I could have just got rid of that whole process and just done the bass on the keyboards because I can play the keyboards and I can play the keyboards pretty well. So, and it makes a very good bass sound, no doubt about it. So I could have done it that way. But in the end, it just sounds better
It really does, right?
with the real bass. Even though I'm not a great player, it just sounds great because it's real and something organic and natural about it that makes it flow better. Yeah.
Wow, you led right into a topic that I wanted to discuss with you since you are a music maker. And the talk about AI and it being another tool, but you know, we've had AI in music for a long time with auto-tune and some of the other technologies that you use in a studio. How much do you use? Because I feel as a rock jock and as a rock disc jockey that I started in radio back in the 80s when things got really slick, and the response in the early 90s was things like grunge and metal. You know, they kind of took over from that really slick sound. And I see us here in the early 21st century going back to a very slick, hollow sound. I think there's going to be another resurgence of the organic, of the real back. I don't know what it's going to be, but and then
Yes.
there are people like you who just said it just sounds better to record a bass than to do it with keyboards or fake it. So how do you feel about all that stuff?
I think that AI is I mean, it's obviously the buzzword of the moment, and
Sure.
everybody's got an opinion on how it's going to be, whether it's going to be a boon to us all, whether it's going to be an artistic helper, whether it's going to be the end of the world, all these different varying ideas about it. But to kind of North Star it, I think that there's no doubt about it. It's going to be really important. It's a very important thing that's happening here. It's as important as some of the other incredible things that have happened during my life, and therefore I assume quite a lot of your life too. I don't know if
Yes.
you're older or younger than me. You look around the same age-ish,
Pretty
sort of.
close.
Yeah,
I
okay.
started in
Maybe.
radio right before you released your first album, put it that way. So.
Okay, well, there you go. So we're you know, you've experienced a lot, and our generation can remember life before the internet, you know, and we all know how big that was and how much it's changed everything. Well, I think AI is going to change everything just as much as that did. But the thing is that the internet didn't destroy artistry. It certainly destroyed a lot of the money-making capabilities of it, but you know,
But it also changed some of those.
it changed them. My band would have never got anywhere without the internet. Never have been discovered. I'd never have played in America. I'd never have been signed to a German record label for 22 years had it not been for the internet. So I've
Right.
got no complaints about it. So when it's coming, the question is am I going to get involved in it? And I think if I'd been 20 years younger now, I'd have been all over it. I'd have been wanting to find out what it could do for me and what and how I could use it. But I think at my age, I think that I'd rather be kind of one of the last of the one of the last AI free performers, and rather
Right.
than one of the first, because I think that the younger people are going to find amazing things to do with it. In the same ways, you know, when DJs first started making music, creating music
Just playing
rather
their
than
albums,
playing
right?
records, they started creating music using a different set of techniques that didn't involve instruments. And, you know, you kind of, at first I was very, oh, no, that's not real music. But of course, and that's the kind of thing that my dad used to say about
Right?
prog. So I was eventually really interested in what DJs were doing to create music. And, you know, I've used some of those techniques myself. Yes, I have. AI, I think I always I always put on my records these days. I strongly on Andy Tillison proudly endorses auto-tune, because I'm not a great singer, you know. I'm not a great singer, and I think everybody knows that I think that, and there's quite a few people who agree with me.
But there's a huge difference between tastefully using auto-tune to fix a few things and
yeah,
then
that's what I
to
do. I use it
slather
to
it
pick.
like a Cher song and have everything be swishy robo-vocals. You know what I mean?
Yes, I mean that's it. I don't particularly want to do that. I want to use auto-tune to help me, you know, when I've sung a line, there are two things I'm looking for when if I'm happy with one of my vocal parts. How does it sound and how does it mean? Did I say what I wanted it to say? And sometimes I can just get it absolutely spot on. So I've said exactly what I wanted to say in the way I wanted to say it. And then I've still sung it. I've sung it. But what I'm saying is that did it make any sense as a piece of English, you know? And so if it's slightly out of tune, but it's perfectly right, then I can just use auto tune to just
It's
fix
a
the note.
tweak. It's a tweak.
Because in the end, what I'm wanting to do is make a record that people will like and enjoy and not have to go, oh God, that was out of tune. So,
Well, I was told by a producer a long time that they really don't think about performing the songs live or whatever. You have to make an album be the best album it can be, or the songs be
that's
the
that, that
best
that's
songs they can
totally it.
be.
I totally agree. This is not, I mean, it's more like a painting. You know, you do a painting, you don't have to do the painting live unless you're Bob Ross or Rolf Harris. You just have the painting and you can spend as long as you want making that painting right. And when you're finished, it's finished. I mean, it's like that making a record. It is now, that's the way I make it. I know that Johnny Cash wouldn't have done that. He'd have just gone into the studio with some guys and he'd have played the album and gone, thanks very much, man. And go out and, you know, and do whatever Johnny Cash does. But for me, it's a long time in a studio making something as best as I can make it and waiting to be happy with what I've made. Yeah.
What's your favorite song on the album?
On this album,
Since this is
difficult.
all you, you're the only one to really ask.
Yeah. I think probably that my favorite track is going to be Alike in the Darkness,
Oh, yeah?
which is, it's not the most commercial of the tracks, and it's one that people might not pick up on first time round, you know. But there's something in that song that's very, very definitely me. It's part of my, you know, there's a lot of my soul in that song, you know. It's a lot of how I see the world and believe in my own self and everything is, and all my insecurities and desires are all there in that song, really. It's quite a foggy song, you
Sounds great, though. The album does sound fantastic. Now, it's coming out on May 10th in multiple formats. When you buy music, what do you buy?
When I buy music, yeah, I usually buy CDs, to be honest.
Same.
I've always preferred CDs. I thought they were the best thing since sliced bread when they first came out, and I've got some.
Agreed.
I do have some vinyls, and I still like to put vinyls on, but. And I don't think that there's I don't think there's anything that can touch a CD for fidelity. And you know, the fact is that when you get a CD off me, you'll put it on your CD player and it will play back exactly what I heard when I pressed the button and said, "You're finished." Yeah, dear. Yeah. Now, if you put the vinyl on, you'll get something that's pretty damn close to it, but you'll get a few extra noises that I didn't put there, and it won't even go at exactly the same speed. It'll be very similar. You probably won't be able to tell the difference, but I bet you if you put it on against my original, the two would not end at the exact same point because your turntable, there just isn't the
Varying speed,
control
right.
to make it exactly the same length. So, you know, you're never going to hear exactly the same on vinyl as you do on CD.
I
It's
get the
exactly
whole
what
the
I heard.
pomp and circumstance of taking it out, cleaning it, putting it, flipping. I mean, I get all of that and that warm
I loved it.
sound,
Yeah.
but I want accurate. I don't like the surface noise, you know, anyway.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, there's something nice about surface noise. I
There
do
is.
Like
There
it.
is something warm
But
and
the
friendly
artist
about an
didn't
album.
put it there.
Right.
It's sort of like, hey, you've got to have this. Oh, you know, you've got to have this as well. And of course, everybody likes that sound, including the artist, but they didn't ask for it to be there.
Right.
So,
It's something added to color something that you didn't create.
yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Well, Andy, thank you for taking time today. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but you have this album coming out on May the 10th. I highly recommend everybody pick it up. It's a wonderful work of art.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you to say so. Thank you very much indeed. And I'm glad you like it.
It's a wonderful listen. We're already playing the first song. We've just added the second song. And that's why I asked you what your favorite was, because we're a progressive rock station, so we're not worried about commercial. I'll play your favorite song off the album. So.
All right. Okay. Well, that's great. It's always a pleasure, and you know, to even know that there's such a thing as a progressive rock radio station in America is great. Yeah. And do you broadcast, or can I ask you, do you broadcast on air, or is it all over the net?
12 years ago, last month, I started, I was going to shows, Porcupine Tree, Riverside, Catatonia. They were sold out. People were buying t-shirts and nobody in America was playing them. There wasn't a Spotify at the time. So I put this progressive rock station on the internet, and now it's been on for 12 years.
Right.
And we support new releases. I added four new songs yesterday. Every Tuesday, we freshen the music. We have currents, lights, mediums, and heavies, recurrents, and golds, and that kind of stuff. And we're just trying to champion new music because a lot of people are going nostalgic and retro. And to me, we've got to keep supporting artists going forward, or we're not going to have classics 20 years from now.
I think that's a really, really good attitude. And of course, you know, it is difficult. You
It
know, I mean,
is.
like, seriously, one of the things that gets me is that I'm still considered to be a kind of Johnny come lately. You know,
Right.
that phrase means, I don't know if you have that in America, but it means over here somebody who's just sort of like, you know, a new kid on the block. And I kind of think, I've been doing this. I've been doing this since 1987, and I wrote my first prog rock songs in 1979. So, you know, and I still, at 64 years old, I'm just this one of these new guys.
Right?
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, but it's just something we have to deal with. I mean,
But man, what a great sound from this new band that I just discovered, right? I mean, they sound so seasoned, there's such quality here.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
Well, I really enjoyed the Tangent releases, and I was actually shocked to find out this was kind of a solo record, so congratulations on that too.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Lovely to talk to you.
You too, Andy. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Okay, best wishes to you too.